All right, Psalm 119. The Hebrew letter Shin, 161 through 168. If you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, if you are physically able, let's read this all together, beginning in verse 161. Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word, as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation, and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee. Here we are. I was kind of amazed. The word awe here in verse 161, you would think that a word like that, A-W-E, right? It's a good word. And it has quite a significant meaning. To stand in awe of someone is just to have great reverence or fear for someone or something. And that just simply is what it means. And we certainly all understand that phrase. But I was shocked to find out it only happens 3 times in Scripture. The word awe. I was. I looked it up. You know, you type in the thing and you click the button and pops up. And I'm like, 3 verses. And I tried it again. 3 verses. I'm like, this is amazing. How many of you would have thought that? The word awe, 3 times in your Bible. Anybody? I mean, I thought it would have been like 20, 50, you know, 3. I'm like, man, that's kind of deflating. But then, again, the idea of it is all through Scripture. The reverence, the respect, that fear of God is consistently throughout Scripture. You know, David says here in this verse, princes have persecuted me without a cause. You know what? That's really the only negative comment he has in these 8 verses. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to get that out of the way right off the bat. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. Listen, he's not saying my enemies are against me. He says these people in high standing. These princes. These people that, if you will, as king, he's working with all the time. He's around them. They're in the kingdom and in this area of ruling. These are not so per se enemies, although they may be counted as such. But rather, these are the ones that are right there working alongside with him. He says, they have persecuted me without a cause. Without a cause. Hey, listen, as we grow and learn as Christians and serve God and build a testimony and live as we ought to righteously in this world, you know, people ought to persecute you without a cause. Don't give them a cause. You ought to be blameless, above reproach. You said, that's under the thing about a pastor and a deacon. I'm not one of those. No, but you're a Christian. And we should live a holy life. Acceptable. Right? It should be something that we live. And listen, I believe that, you know, yes, David had his issues and he had his problems. But I believe him when he says that he's been persecuted by these without a cause. But I really love how he mentioned this, but then turned completely his attention toward God and the Word of God. Look at what he says at the rest of the verse. But my heart standeth in awe of thy word. No, that's a statement. My heart standeth in awe of thy word. We've already discussed at great lengths the heart. How it needs to be changed. How it needs to be transformed. Because in its natural state, it's deceitful. It's desperately wicked. But once we turn it over to God, He makes it anew. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things. Yeah. Get it out of here. Give me a new one. Right? I mean, David, in his time of repentance, he said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You see, we've got to be in a position, and David was. He said, "Hey, they're persecuting me without a cause." And he said, "But my heart standeth in awe of thy word." You know what he's saying here? I have great respect and great fear, not afraid fear, reverent fear for your word. Because I told you before, and I mean this, God and his word are inseparable. They're synonymous. They go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. God and his word are one, if you will. They are inseparable. And David said, "My heart standeth in awe of thy word." Take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 4. And yes, we're going to go to the two other places that the word awe is used. I think it's very relevant. Listen to David and look along. Here are these eight verses of Psalm chapter 4. David says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing, Selah? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." You see how David mentioned that, that we are to stand in awe and sin not. David said these princes had falsely accused him. They're persecuting him without a cause. And his heart standeth in awe of his word. You know, when we really reverence something, we pay it homage. We pay heed to it. We do what it says. To say that you love this book and ignore it is a lie. We're not in awe of his word if we just cast it aside. If we just treat it frivolously, if we just, like I said last week, if we just take our little scissors and cut out the parts we don't like and leave the parts that we like, well, then we're not in awe of this word. And certainly our heart, if you will, doesn't stand in awe of it if we pay it no regard. David says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. That reminds me of something. Trust in the Lord with all thine. Wow. All of it. And if I were to say, my heart standeth in awe of thy word, Isn't that significant? Isn't that all thine heart? And lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him. What is acknowledging God? It's standing in awe of him. It's reverencing him. It's fearing him. As the Bible says we ought to. Take your Bibles and turn just a few chapters to Psalm 33. This one's a little bit longer, but that's okay. We have time. Psalm 33. Listen to this. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters and the sea together as in heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. You know, I think that both of those passages, along with this third one that we read tonight, certainly exhibit what it means to stand in awe of God in his word. It's to live the life. The proof's in the pudding. It's righteousness. It's right living. It's following the word. It's doing what it says. It's being what God wants us to be, not what we necessarily want to be. As David said back in Psalm 119, about these princes, they were false accusations. There was nothing to it. There was no cause to it. They persecuted him without a cause. He says, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I couldn't help but think, and we've shared this many times throughout this study, and you may have it memorized. I'd encourage you to. I have it memorized in the form of a song. But Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14 came to mind. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I think that carries with it the very essence of what David is trying to say, that even though these princes had no cause in persecuting him, his heart stood in awe of his word. It's the wonderful word of God. It's amazing. It's something we should stand in awe of. It's something we should hold in great reverence. This book. Can I ask you, what else do we have? What else do we have to stand in awe of than God and his word? I mean, really, compare them. Does anything compare? It does not. Go back to Psalm 119. David now turns on a positive note for the rest of these verses. And I'm so excited about that. I like it when he does that. He simply says here in verse 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Now, I couldn't help. I'm somewhat, I don't know. I guess I'm just a man, right? Somewhat carnal, I suppose, in some ways. I'm working on it. Don't worry. But I couldn't help but think about finding gold. That's just the first thing you say a word, pops in your head, right? Did you anybody else do that? Okay, good. Hallelujah. Okay, I'm not the only one. It says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I mean, you're out there, right? In the stream, and you got your little pan, and you're swishing it around, or you got your pickaxe, and you're going to town into the ground there, and you know, chink. You're like, what could that be? Glisten, glisten, glisten. Eyes get, woohoo! I struck gold! Yeah, right. And then they start dancing around. I mean, come on! That's immediately where this old brain went. Little brain, whatever you want to call it. That's exactly what I was thinking. Did anybody else have that thought? No. Some? Maybe. You should. Hey, when's the last time you said, no. Whoa! Look what I found! Come on. I'm silly, but I'm not that silly. I mean, am I misreading this? I don't think so. David said, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Whoa. That'll just blow your mind right there. I mean, that's amazing. When's the last time these gold nuggets of truth hit you so that you're like, I've just found the greatest treasure in the world? And you just, hey, preacher, have you ever read that before? Man, it's boom! This is amazing. Hey, wife, husband, kids, friends, hold on. Texting. Group text. Whoa! Come on now. Never? Once? Twice? Half a dozen times? Thank God for Bible markers. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. get excited about a lot of things in this world. And I'm ashamed to say that one of them does not happen to be this book. I'm not trying. Well, maybe I am.
Oh, that's fair.
Step on your toes. But maybe we should step on all of our toes. Is that not what David is saying? Is that not the spirit of it? And what we should feel when this book crosses past our eyes, into our minds, into our being, into our heart, that we've struck it rich. This is the greatest thing we've ever read. The greatest thing we've ever found. We've already read how in Psalm 19 it says that it's more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Its worth is above all things. Rubies and precious stones and gold and silver. The word of God is valuable. It is great spoil. And we ought to be plumb excited about it. We ought to rejoice. You know, hooking arms and dancing around and celebrating and cheering and rejoicing. Just like we just struck it rich. Started the gold rush or something like that. I mean, man. Hey, if I was out working in my yard and I went ching. Oh, no. I had to throw that in there just to get a reaction. Because that's who I am. Anyway, I mean, if I had a treasure box or a gold nugget, you don't think I'd be shouting? I mean, I'd run across the street. Brother Don, look what I found! maybe you got one in your yard too. I think these fell during that hailstorm a couple years ago. But come on, isn't that what it's supposed to be like? Paul said in Philippians, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause, also do ye joy and rejoice with me." You know, just for sake of time, we won't go back to the Second Chronicles, but when Josiah was cleaning up Israel and they were repairing the temple and all these things, I just love it when Hilkiah the priest finds the book. They're bringing all the offerings and he's like, "Hey, I found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And they brought it to the king and the king read it and he rent his clothes and they brought it to the people and they read it and boy, there was a revival. And over in Nehemiah, when they read the book and they caused them to understand the reading and they get right with God and there was great rejoicing. Because they found the book. They finally understood what God was telling. And it had been forsaken for so long. You know, there are probably more copies of the Word of God in print today than there ever have been. But maybe less rejoicing than there ever has been too. You know, I read through these prayer letters, these missionaries. I remember Johnny and Leslie telling us that when they first completed the project that they had about translating the Bible into Croatian language,
And as they hit the ground over there and they started hand, I mean, there were people, Croatian people, just sobbing in the streets, hugging those things. And just shouting and rejoicing that they finally had received a copy of the Word of God in their own language. I've got 20 of these things at my house. Or more. My wife's one that, and I love this about her. And I feel the same way. But she didn't like to throw away old Bibles. She's got a box of broken Bibles with loose pages and pages everywhere. And so, I mean, I've got all that too. You know, in some countries, they'll take a Bible and carefully separate it. And this family will get a couple pages. And this family will get a couple pages. And they take care of them. They hide them. They keep them. They read them. And they bring them back and they switch pages. And pass. Could you imagine? And yet, though we have this great treasure, when's the last time that we rejoiced at His Word as one that findeth great spoil? Just a thought. Let's go back and finish up tonight. You're doing a great job keeping on track tonight. I'm so proud of you. Don't forget what Jeremiah said as you turn back to Psalm 119. Thy words were found and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Remember, it got so bad for Jeremiah. 5 chapters later, he said, then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I love it. Rejoice at His word as one that findeth great spoil. Look at verse 163. I hate. You said, Pastor, you told us he was getting positive. This is positive. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Now, when I looked up this word, abhor, I did find what I was getting at. It was like 28, 30 times mentioned in the Bible. I was shocked that's about what I expected from the word awe. But I didn't get that. Abhor. To hate extremely. So basically, he said it twice. I hate, and I hate extremely. Right? Hate extremely. With contempt. It's detestable. It's loathed. It's an abomination. I hate and abhor lying. Isn't that a good thing? I'm okay with that. Now, why does this come here? Well, just previously, he said that these princes persecuting him without a cause. Right? He said, I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. What a wonderful comparison of opposites. God, who cannot lie. God's word, absolute truth. No falsehoods. You have the complete opposites here. Lying, truth. It's falsehood, truth. And we have this, he hates and abhors Lying is completely detestable. It's an extreme hatred with contempt. Does that remind you of anybody? Reminds me of Job chapter 1 and verse 8, where God said, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Yeah. Pushed it away. Get it out of here. I don't want it around me. I don't want it anywhere near me. That's what we ought to have. That kind of an attitude. That kind of a spirit. Over in Romans chapter 12, you may have heard this word again. He says, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Now, I want you to notice, we're connecting the little dots here, right? In these statements, these three verses that David is saying. Did you catch that? Abhor. Hate it with extreme prejudice. Get it out of here. I don't want it with me. I don't want it anywhere around me. He said, I'm going to push that all away. And I'm going to cleave to that which is good.
I like the sounds these make.
Cleave. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is evil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Isn't that the same? That's the same. God says, hey, look, this book, this law, this word of mine is something that should be a part of your life. It should be your life. It should be the very thing that you love, that you rejoice in, that you stand in awe of. I think there's a very distinct difference between these. In Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Joshua, when he became the leader of God's people, was given a similar charge. Was he not? This book of the law shall not depart out of the mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make the way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. As Peter's talking to the believers here. Look at verse 8. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. Knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. We need to push it away, and we need to turn to this book. You know, as we look at what it says in Romans and other places in Scripture, Galatians, you can go lots of different places. It talks about the works of the flesh Things that are manifest in someone who's carnal minded. Who's working toward the thing. And listen, lies in there, hatred, I mean, all these things. And what I'm supposed to do? Mortify those things. Put it away from it. Get it out of here. Crucify it. Get rid of it. Kill it. And then live and walk and choose and yield our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Living and walking in the fruit of the Spirit. Letting that be evident in our life. Showing that we do love it. We do rejoice at it. We do stand in awe of His Word and His law. Over in Psalm 59, David said, "Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloody men. For lo, they lie in wait for my soul. The mighty are gathered against me. Not for my transgression, not for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves without my fault. Awake to help me. And behold, thou therefore, O Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, awake to visit all the heathen. Be not merciful to any wicked transgressors, Selah. They return at evening. They make a noise like a dog. Then go round about the city. Behold, they belch out with their mouth. Swords are in their lips. For who, say they, doth hear? But thou, Lord, shalt laugh at them. And thou shalt have all the heathen in derision. Because of his strength will I wait upon thee. For God is my defense. The God of my mercy shall prevent me. God shall let me see my desire upon mine enemies. Slay them not, lest my people forget. Scatter them by thy power. Bring them down, O Lord, our shield. For the sin of their mouth and the words of their lips, let them even be taken in their pride. And for cursing and lying which they speak. Consume them in wrath. Consume them, that they may not be. And let them know that God ruleth in Jacob unto the ends of the earth. Selah. And evening, let them return. Let them make a noise like a dog and go round about the city. Let them wander up and down for meat and grudge if they be not satisfied. But I will sing of thy power. Yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning. For thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. Unto thee, O my strength, will I sing. For God is my defense and the God of my mercy." You know, I just think that David turned his focus from those that persecuted him without a cause, to his love, his respect, and his rejoicing of the Word of God. He knew it was something he could take solace in. He knew it was something he could go to. He knew it was something that, hey, listen, it doesn't matter what comes against me. It doesn't matter if they don't have a cause and they're persecuting me. I have the Word of God. Folks, we're in a difficult time. People may be against us. Things may be difficult, but we have the Word of God. The precious Word of God. Does your heart stand in awe of His Word? Do you rejoice in His Word as one that findeth great spoil? Do you hate and abhor lying, but love His law? It's the wonderful Word of God. Let me give you just a few parting verses. In 1 Thessalonians 5, remember what Paul says? Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. It's simple. God's Word is what we should long for, is what we should reverence, is what we should rejoice in, is what we should love.